Now, I have a confession. This morning I should be speaking on the fourth part of the Church in the Community, entitled Devoted to Prayer. As you know, that's come from Acts 2:42, but I'm not going to be doing that. I want to say first, I shouldn't be, but I'm always amazed that God is not only with us, but he goes before us. And Dave, I want to encourage you for your word that you brought this morning, because that's so spot on in what I want to share, heart, and as yours, as you will see, Philippa. And we should always be open to the Lord speaking. This is a bit of side issue. We were coming back from Southampton yesterday, and we stopped at a little chef, and we used the little boys' room, as you do. No, you didn't. You used the little girls' room. That's very, very observant, Jacqueline. Well done. But in both the ladies and the gents, for me, I was standing there, and I need to say this, and I heard birds, then I heard sheep, and then I heard cows. So I'm looking around thinking, where is all this coming from? And it was the same for Jacqueline, and for some reason, they decided they needed to pipe country sounds into the toilet. So what I'm trying to say is, if that can happen, God can speak to you anywhere, can't he? That's what I'm trying to get to. But anyway, now, the reason I've changed this morning, because I wanted to share some of what happened with us in Bethel Church in California. And I'm not going to talk about the church. I'm going to talk about actually what God has done and is doing and is taking me and my beautiful wife, points there, on a journey that isn't over. But I need to share that. God chose me to lead this church. So what affects and changes and challenges me affects his church, which is you. So that's why I need to share. But I will show you a couple of pictures, just as we're going. I'm not in this one because I had shorts on and I'm taking the picture, so I didn't want to. It's too early on a Sunday morning to. So this is their main building. It's not their only building. You can see how quite large it is. We had fantastic weather there. I want to show you because this, besides, is their prayer room. This is separate. This is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. And you can go in and you can just spend time with the Lord. You can just pray and soak. And, we easily spent 2.5 hours in there because you just focus in on God. Now, it's in quite a desperate area to live, as you can see. You know, it's tough. That is not dissimilar from the view from the prayer room. And I want you to remember this picture with the mountains because God showed me a picture about this that I'm going to share later. And this is just their road. There's no other traffic goes here. That's their road up to their building. And as you can see, Jacqueline and Jean were very faithful in waiting for me and Trevor. They just wanted to get to the next meeting. So they were gone up there. But I do just want to say something about fruit and seed before I start. You know, God's blessed us in able to go to Bethel. He's blessed us, for Jacqueline and myself, in able to go to IHOP in Kansas, the International House of Prayer. He's blessed me, enabled me to go to Toronto when there was the outpouring of his Spirit. And when you go to places like this, you get to taste the fruit of what the Father's done with these people. And it tastes good. You know, it's good what God has done with them. But we can't bring fruit back from these places. You can't take where they're at and where they are and bring that back. Because if you take fruit on a journey, you've got to eat it, haven't you? You can't keep it. And you certainly can't plant fruit. Fruit's not for planting. It's seeds that you plant. And when we go to something like this, or something similar, even in this country, what God does with us is an impartation. So he wants us to bring seeds back. He wants us to have fruit back. He wants us to bring the seeds back. Now, I was praying around this, and God took me to 1 Corinthians 15. And the title of the passage I'm going to read from is actually the resurrection body. But God really spoke to me personally about what I've just been saying. And he says this, Paul, when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. The shape of what that seed will grow into will be determined by God. It will look different from here as it does anywhere else because of the makeup of the people and because of what God wants to do. Yes, there may be similarities because it should contain God's DNA, but it won't be a carbon copy of what he wants to do. Now, when you prayed for us, just before we went away on that Sunday, Dave Barnsley gave us a word about it was going to be a crossroads moment in our lives. And that wasn't in a negative way, that was in a positive way. And again, Dave, I encourage you, because this turned out to be very much the 10 days we spent there, a crossroads moment for us as a couple and particularly for me individually. No matter if I was in the prayer room, within the services, or the conference that we were able to go to, God started to speak to me. And he started by first reminding me of some verses that I actually read here about the piece of land that we are still pursuing, that we believe God wants us to build his church on. And these verses were read out to me. It's in 2 Chronicles 20:15-18. I just want to remind you. It says, listen, all Judea and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up to the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judea and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. And if you remember, I said I was on a holiday. I was getting a bit frustrated and niggled with God because this land wasn't coming into our hands. And he spoke quite clearly to me that we were to stand firm, we were to hold our position, we were to keep praying, but ultimately the battle is his. And ultimately what he was saying is, you trust me. You trust me for what I'm doing. But then God spoke to me about these verses in regards to his church. And God brought to my attention that actually I'd lost focus. I'd actually stopped trusting him for his church. I'd let the weight and the responsibilities come onto me that were never mine to take on. This is his church. You're his church. And that effect, and had affected the position of my calling. That affects my focus and how I lead his church. I'd actually lost focus in that. And how had I lost that focus? Through serving his church. Now you think, well, that's a strange thing to say, Richard, because that's what we're here to do. Well, I'll explain what I mean by that in a while. But throughout those 10 days in Bethel, God continuously spoke to me regarding my personal relationship with him, his love for me, and the time that he longed to spend with me. Now, isn't that what he longs and desires for each and every one of us? And my prayer this morning is that what God is challenging me with will also resound in your hearts as well. So here are some of the verses that he took me to, and you're going to know them, but I just want to ask that the Holy Spirit will challenge each of our hearts and examine each of our hearts in our personal relationship with him. Because it's not under law that he wants us to come to him, it's the grace and love that he wants us to be in relationship and experience with him. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. That's what God longs for. That's what he longs for from my heart Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him. That's a challenging word, isn't it? To cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And a couple from Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And finally, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, my heart's call is to have that deeper relationship with God. And out of that, I serve and care for his church. To serve and care cannot be at the expense of the time that you spend with our Heavenly Father. That's for all of us. Serving and caring has to come out of our personal relationship with him. Otherwise, at some point, we'll lose focus. If you lose focus, you lose vision. You lose vision, the mundane sets in. Frustration sets in. Life as a Christian becomes no different to life we live in the world. It becomes mundane. We lose that joy. You can't see the difference between work and church. All merges and becomes one. And then what starts to happen? Commitment fades. First love fades. Serving fades. Because our focus is not on the one who loves us so much. And the heart of what God brought me to was how I viewed my relationship with my Heavenly Father. You know, my earthly father was a man of few words. His way of showing his love to me and my brother was in what he did for us. That's how I knew he loved me. We didn't want for anything as a family. But it was all in a work, in a serving capacity that he showed his love. And you know, that washed over me. I didn't know that, but God highlighted that this time away. That actually, that's how I viewed my relationship with God. It was from a working, it was from a serving point of view. It was coming through what I did and how I served. And serving and caring and ministry within the church for us all has to come out of relationship and the time that we spend with Abba Father. Our identity and our worth should never be rooted in what we do. You know, if we did nothing this morning, if we just sat here in his presence, God would love us no less. And we have to get our heads around that sometimes because we have to think it's something we have to do to please it. We can't do anything. God has done it all for us through his son on the cross. He loves us no less and no more than he loves us in his fullness now. And our identity and our worth has to be rooted in him. Because when that happens, our approach to life, our approach to our Christian walk, our approach to serving and caring all changes. And did you remember that picture of the mountains? And I was in the prayer room and I was praying. It was a Saturday morning. And in the distance over the mountains was a helicopter. And I like to think it was an eagle. But as Sheila and Bill will confirm with us, in Spain, we thought we were seeing eagles for 2 weeks and they were vultures. But they are, there are eagles out there. There are eagles. And it was just like that. Its wings, it was a really windy day. And its wings were just, and they weren't together, but the perspective I was seeing, they were almost like side by side up above the mountain. Then I really sensed the man-made effort to keep that helicopter in the air. You know, the engine, the parts, the pilot's effort to just keep a perspective of what they were seeing. And at some stage, however hard they tried, it would have to land because it would run out of fuel. It needed, its dependency was on what they were doing, and it wasn't enough. And then there was this eagle, and its wings were like that, and it was just soaring. And it was a windy day, because there were smaller birds below it that were flapping like mad, who were trying to keep in here. But this eagle was just soaring. And God said, this is what I created it for. This is what it's gifted for, to catch that wind. And the windier it got, the higher it got. And it was effortlessness for it to get a perspective of what it was seeing. You know, God created us to worship Him, to have fellowship with Him. God has put within us the Holy Spirit. He's gifted us, enabling us to catch the wind of His Spirit. It should be effortless for us. It should be without any of our own doing to catch a godly perspective of what He wants us to see. And that's not just in our lives. If we're sharing, if we're caring, not just within the church, but in the communities that we live, it should be effortlessness, if that's such a word. I don't think it is. But it shouldn't be with effort. It shouldn't be heavy. Remember what Isaiah 40 says to us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Yeah, Holy Spirit, will you bring that to us now? Take our effort, I pray, Lord. May we understand it's about being in your presence. And that's something Jesus had to remind his church at Ephesus from Revelations 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But I have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You know, Ephesus was a busy church. The members were doing a lot within the community, and they were doing much to benefit themselves and the community. But they were acting from a wrong core motive. Serving God must never be motivated other than through our love through Him. Isn't that our one priority? Isn't that what the greatest commandment is? To love the Lord with all your heart? Love and a deepening relationship with our Heavenly Father only grows through spending time with Him. And that was a challenge to me, as I'm sure it is to each and every one of you. Time. We need more than 24 hours in a day, don't we? Oh, no, I've gone too far ahead. Sorry. Time is something that fights for us. I want to come back to that in a minute. But my God-given task as leader of his church is not to build a church. Jesus has already done that. You're hit. You are the church. Jesus said to him, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Our task is to extend his kingdom. His church is already established. And we're to extend it through a family culture of love, grace, and honor. So how do we expand his kingdom through love, grace, and honor? Well, it has to come out of us. To come out of us, we have to spend time with Father. We have to catch his presence. It's about being in his presence. And we will be transformed by his love, his grace, and acts of honor. And that will produce a culture of love, grace, and honor within the church. And the byproduct of that is that we will take that and are taking that into the communities that we live, into the streets that we live. These attributes that God is working in us cannot outwork. You know, God has called us to change the atmosphere. That's how we'll change the atmosphere, through being in the presence, a deeper relationship with our Father. That's how we'll advance the kingdom. And like I just said, time is a challenge. Paul says this about time. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. It isn't about just making the best use of our times spiritually. It's making the best use of our times practically and physically. That means we have to change maybe some of the ways that we organize our life. That we have to say no to something so that we're spending time. Because the benefits far outweigh the obstacles. Because we come to this vast ocean of his love. The well-known verses in Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you are being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And yet, if I'm honest, how I've been, and perhaps you can relate to this, sometimes we skim that ocean. You skim those pebbles across the water at the beach. We just skim the surface of what we're being encouraged to go into the depths of. You know, he has a desire that we immerse ourselves totally in his love. And God is always looking at the hearts. Yeah, he sees what we do and serve him, but it's the heart that matters. Again, well-known verses in Samuel. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees, not a man sees, looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I can guarantee you, the enemy wants you to focus on what you see on the outside. He loves it no better than when you stand in front of that mirror and you condemn everything that you see about yourselves. And you think of your life and you think, oh, I'm just a failure. Can't do this. I'm not able to do that. God's not interested in that. God's interested in your heart. That's what he looks at. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Don't believe what the world says that you should look like. Believe what God says to you into your heart. Our identity and ever-deepening relationship with him defines and shapes who we are, how we act, and how we respond. You know, if we're not certain of our identity in Christ, Or if we have a shallow relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's going to leave a hole within us because we were born to have a relationship with Him. And if we're not defined by our identity, if we're not defined by the deepness of our relationship with Him, then circumstances, feelings, emotions, even our health will define and shape who we are. Our security, our anchor, is to be in who we are in Christ. The role that He has called us to has to be firmly rooted in Him. Oh no, I've gone too far now. Hang on. Hebrews. Oh, there we go. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place beyond the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. You know, if we're not anchored in Jesus, we drift. It's human nature. We'll be blown about by what we see, what we feel, and what we experience in this world. Being anchored in Christ helps us to focus on our relationship with Him. So then it doesn't matter what the season is around us. It doesn't matter if we feel we're in a time of encouragement or discouragement. It doesn't matter if we're in a time of growth or if we're sadly in a time when people may move on or even leave us as a church. Our identity and relationship is in the one that we love. That is where our anchor is to be. We are sons and daughters of the risen Christ. We are sons and daughters of the risen Christ. Yes. We have been made kings and priests in His kingdom. Amen. Amen. So our attitude should be that of Paul's. I'm not going to read all that. You can read that while I'm talking. We press on towards the goal of the upward calling. We're not deferred or drifted or taken by our circumstances of anything around us, because our focus is on the one that we love so much. As I said earlier, Bethel was a crossroads for me and a challenge that the structure of my day in leading this church has to change. And what do I mean by this? I love serving His church. Don't get me wrong. I love serving you. It's great that the building is being used so much. We are believing becoming that community church. But I'm not fulfilling the role that He's called me to, leading His church or serving you well, by spending so much time sorting the building out. You know, while we were at Bethel, both Jacqueline and I really believe that God put an impartation into us that is to be worked out in this church. But it's almost like it's in a chest. It's not like you come back and you feel refreshed and you give that away. This is different. This is an impartation. And the key to unlocking this, my hearing birds again. The key to unlocking this for us is the time that we spend with our Father. It's the time that we give to Him. And I know that because I know what some of that impartation entails. And it cannot be outworked in how I am now or how we are now. It can only be outworked in a deeper relationship. My Heavenly Father, my fellow directors, and you didn't call me to a caretaking role. Now, don't hear me wrong. I love serving the church. I'll put the bins out as much as anyone will because I love serving God. But I have to spend time with Him in getting right with Him, in getting the balance right in all of this. And now I need to say sorry to you. I need to say sorry that I spent too much time on works and not enough time with the Father. And that's got to change. But God has this way of challenging us all. And there's a challenge to us all in this. What motivates us to serve? Or even not serve in His kingdom? Because it must come from a basis of wanting to please the one that loves us so much. So we're going to have to take a real hard look at how we do things in the church, particularly how I do things. the church. But the time is right for this. And this is just something else I felt was right to bring in now to mention, because it's going to affect all of us. In the early part of 2014, Eric and Philippa are going to take a sabbatical. Now, when Eric came into eldership, the one thing he said to both myself and to Martin Charlesworth was that when he reached a certain age, in which allows him free travel, so I'll let... Oh, was it? Okay. What are you entitled to now, then? Free meals? Something? Oh, state pension. Okay. I'll let you work out the age. he wanted an opportunity to review what he did, and I'll read it in his words, because then you'll understand it. They requested a break to have some time to stand back and reflect on their future calling in God. They are at a self-imposed crossroads. There's that word again, crossroads. Where they wish to consider what God is calling them to do for the next season in their lives. So they're at a crossroads, we're at a crossroads. Ooh. Scary. But listen, it's not negative. I don't see it as negative. God has brought us to a point where our present structure in how we work needs reshaping, even reshaping, for bigger things to come. You know, we're moving to a bigger building. That's happening. We're not in it yet, but that is happening. But how we work things, how we do things, how we are, has to be changing now for that. So I see it as a positive, not a negative. But I wanted you to know that, because this affects you. And I want you to pray and support and say, oh, Lord God, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? How are we going to work these things out? Now, I just want to spend a few minutes of some of the other things that God spoke to me that I feel is going to affect us here as a church. And it is around prayer. So I don't feel guilty about not speaking about prayer from Acts that I should be on. So the first is this. I want to make something public that I've felt for a long time. The new facility, I'm just stating it here now, it will have a prayer room. Okay? It's important. It's got to have a prayer room. And it will be, I know you're going to find this hard to imagine, it's going to be bigger than the one we've already got. Yeah, I know. It doesn't have to be, but yeah, it just needs to be just a little bit bigger. But, you know, it's important. And isn't it about being a holy place? Prayer is a foundation of everything that we should be doing, because it communicates with our Father. So, until then, you have the privilege and the honour of coming in to the small room on a Sunday. Particularly, you can use it any time, but particularly before the meeting. Now, the reason God's given us a small room at the moment is we won't need a huge, huge room to make it feel bigger when we move, but we will have it be. But I just wanted to say something about the meeting before on a Sunday, because I really felt challenged that we should change slightly how we're doing this, because I feel we've got in a bit of a set list and motion. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some music playing out there, and what we're saying is that from 9:30 you can just come in and go as much as you want, as long as you keep the door closed and open. That's the only thing. But what I want you to do is, you may want to pray for the meeting, but what I think is more important is that we prepare our hearts for the morning, that we're in a right place to not only outwork worship to him, but also to hear what he might say to us and use us. But that's a byproduct. The product is preparing our hearts. So if you want to come in there, you come in. So, you might come in, nobody's praying, but they are praying. But there will be music going to help you prepare, because life will want to push everything else out of the way from coming in to the presence. So we're going to be doing that from next week. Actually, when it gets to a point where that's longer than half an hour, 20 minutes, but we're on a journey. I wanted to go longer, but I was rightly corrected that we start where we are, because we set realistic goals. But there will be a part when we'll be doing that an hour before the meeting, because that's important. It changes the whole ethos and atmosphere of this meeting, it will. So But we're on a journey with that. Now, something else I want to clarify, and I want to say something about, is our Sunday morning ministry. We are called to pray, are we not? Every one of us. We are all called to pray for the sick. But there are times when there is a need for more specific prayer ministry than what I would say general prayer. So God gifts some to be able to do prayer ministry, to outwork prayer ministry. Now, it doesn't make them any more special than anyone else in this church or any other gifting within this church. It just means we're not all gifted for prayer ministry. I'd love to play guitar on a Sunday morning. All right, Wendy. Okay. Yeah. But trust me, you wouldn't want me to be doing that on a Sunday. Any more, and I've got permission to say this, any more than you'd want Richard Pearsall singing on a Sunday. Because we're gifted in other areas. Our giftings lie elsewhere. So, if you would like to explore becoming part of the ministry team on a Sunday, then I want you to have a word with Trevor and Jean. But I've said to them, if someone is suitable, there are two criterias for being on this team. The first is, they need to understand ministry guidelines. Why do I say that? Because when the Holy Spirit's moving, when there's a Holy Spirit mess, there is still a godly order. There are still principles, and there's still ways that we protect one another. Because the enemy will still want to try and get in times like that. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14. So the first thing is that you will have spend time understanding how we pray and why we pray. The second criteria is that those who want to be on a ministry team on a Sunday morning, I want them to attend the little box out there, the little room out there. Especially if you want to serve on the team that morning. Because we have to ensure that what we are giving out from comes from being full of the Holy Spirit and not out of ourselves. It's not out of our own strength. Now, there are times when us may need deeper prayer ministry. Then that isn't for a Sunday morning. So, some of our folks here not only minister on a Sunday morning, but they've had much more in-depth training in prayer ministry. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I've heard of this. Well, I'm mentioning it because I want to clarify it. We do prayer ministry here called sozo. And sozo is a Greek word meaning to save, make well or whole, and it's used 110 times in the New Testament. It also means to deliver, heal and preserve. Now, I haven't got time to read the examples out, but there are three New Testament examples for you. On salvation, Romans 10:10 and Luke 19:10. On healing, Matthew 9:22. And on deliverance, Luke 8:36. And it's in that context of where the word is talking about being saved, being made well, being healed. It's about a wholeness. That is what sozo is about. It's about a wholeness. Now, God longs for us to be whole, both in body, mind, and spirit, does he not? Yeah. So, it's a primary tool that we use within prayer ministry, but it's not the only way we pray, as we acknowledge that this is not for everyone. Yet, we have seen, and we can testify, the blessing this tool has been within the church. I try and have prayer ministry every year. And I want to encourage you, I want us to become a church that's not afraid to be prayed for. Because it doesn't mean when I go for a sozo there's something drastically wrong with me. It just means that I pick up the things through the year that need brushing off of me. So it's like an MOT, I see it. And it's amazing what God does with me through an MOT. I had one while I was in Bethel. And a lot of what I'm sharing came out of that. And I had no idea. But God just wanted to just clarify some things with me and move me on. And I'm looking and I'm longing for the day when our prayer ministry is at work in the community. When it's not just about us, it's about the people who don't even know Jesus. They're receiving a wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. Now, talking about community, I just want Jacqueline's going to come and share. We had the opportunity to go treasure hunting while we were there. You say, what's that? Well, to some that might be prophetic evangelism. Was I nervous? Yes, I was nervous. Because I've never done it before. You know, just because you're a leader doesn't mean you have nerves. So Jacqueline's just going to come and share